From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. First, the headlines. Indonesian Vice President says prioritize research innovation to anticipate future crisis. Indonesian government strategizing to change pandemic status to endemic. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin has urged all stakeholders to prioritize research and innovation for formulating modern policies and building systems that are more resilient to future crises and shocks. It was stated by Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin while joining the Merdeka Economic Forum via video conferencing from Jakarta on Monday, as quoted by Antara. According to Ma'ruf Amin, in economic policy, research and innovation are needed to change the economic order and make it sustainable through the development of a green economy and a blue economy with inclusive participation. Now we move to the Health Minister Budi Gunadi Sadikin, who confirmed that the Indonesian government is outlining a strategy to change the status of the COVID-19 pandemic to an endemic phase. The minister also received direction from the president with input from the coordinating minister regarding the strategy to shift from pandemic to endemic. The Ministry of Health has prepared the protocol. It was said by Minister Sadikin at an online press conference as reported by Antara. According to the minister, President Joko Widodo had called for careful consideration before arriving at the decision by taking into account various approaches from the scientific, health, social, cultural, and economic aspects. Next, we have the Indonesian Cooperative and Small and Medium Enterprises Minister Teten Mas Duki, who highlighted four ways to transform micro, small, and medium enterprises, or MSMEs, in 2022 during a webinar on Monday, as quoted by Antara. According to the minister, the first concern is to encourage the younger generation to become productive and competitive entrepreneurs. This is crucial considering that the population within this category has reached 64% of the total population of Indonesia, based on Statistics Indonesia or BPS data for 2020. Meanwhile, 73% of Indonesian youngsters have expressed an interest in entrepreneurship. We end the national news with micro, small, and medium enterprises, or MSMEs, that play an important role as part of Indonesia's economic backbone. As reported by Antara on Monday, President Joko Widodo had earlier stated MSMEs require to have greater access to business capital funding, to which end the arrive, as to say, he aimed that by 2024, MSMEs should be able to get 30% of credit from the banking industry, wherein the credit section as of January 2022 was recorded to be at around 20%. Easier access to the capital is expected to encourage MSME actors and the younger generation to expand the business scope. Now we move to the international news. The United Arab Emirates mission to the United Nations reiterated the importance of working to reach an immediate ceasefire in Ukraine and seeking peaceful solutions that serve regional and international security and stability. The mission was said in a Twitter post early on Tuesday, as reported by Reuters.com. The mission added in its statement that United Arab Emirates deplores the ongoing violence in Ukraine and reiterates the need for restraint, a ceasefire, and a peaceful resolution of the conflict. Next, Moscow faced increasing isolation on Tuesday as President Vladimir Putin showed no sign of stopping an invasion of Ukraine, where fierce fighting and Russian bombardment have killed dozens and sparked a refugee crisis. As reported by Reuters.com, Russia's invasion, launched last week, has failed to achieve the decisive early gains that Putin would have hoped for. Ceasefire talks held Monday failed to reach a breakthrough, and negotiators have not said when a new round will take place. The United States and its allies have sought to punish Russia economically for staging the biggest assault on a European state since World War II. They have imposed sanctions on Russia's top businesses, oligarchs, and officials, including Putin himself. We end the news with Pakistan's Prime Minister Imran Khan on Monday announced a cut in petrol and electricity price despite a steep rise in the global oil market, pledging to freeze the new rates until the next budget in June. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, the move comes as Khan's opposition already engaged in street protests over what they say is his mismanagement of the economy and rising inflation. Says it is set to propose a no-confidence motion in parliament to oust him. Petrol and diesel prices will be slashed by 10 rupees a liter, and electricity rates will be cut by 5 rupees per unit, Han said in a television address to the nation. Well, listener, next we present you Diplomatic Corner entitled Muhammadiyah University Joins Hands with the Samarkand State Institute of Foreign Language.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Diplomatic Corner highlights Muhammadiyah University cooperates with Samsival. Muhammadiyah Makassar University cooperates with a state university in Uzbekistan, the Samarkand State Institute of Foreign Languages, Samsival. The cooperation was signed virtually on Saturday. The cooperation was focused on three missions of universities, namely education, research, and public service. The cooperation would include lecturer and student exchange, joint research, joint teaching program, seminar, workshop, conference, and other academic meetings. They also included lecturer, professional, and student visits, publication, academic material, and other information exchange and tourism development. Rector of Muhammadiyah Makassar University, Ambo Ase, appreciated the cooperation of the two universities. He hopes that the cooperation will expand the Indonesian language study program in Uzbekistan. Well, listener, that was Diplomatic Corner, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, the program Diplomatic Corner ends the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today in history will start with March 1st, 1947, the International Monetary Fund start operating. The International Monetary Fund, IMF, is an international financial institution with 190 member countries. This institution aims to strengthen global monetary cooperation and financial stability, encourage international trade, expand employment opportunities, as well as sustainable economic growth, and eradicate poverty worldwide. The IMF was officially established on December 27, 1945, and is headquartered in Washington. But it was not until March 1, 1947, the IMF started its financial operations. On May 8, 1947, France became the first country to borrow funds from the IMF. Switching now to 1949, March 1st General Offensive. General Offensive of March 1st, 1949 was an armed attack in Yogyakarta carried out by high ranks of the Indonesian National Armed Forces or TNI in the Division 3 area. The purpose of this attack was to prove to the international world that the TNI was still there and strong. At the time, the Dutch, who wanted to regain its former colony after Indonesia proclaimed its independence on August 17, 1945, launched propaganda that the Republic of Indonesia no longer exists. Yogyakarta was chosen to attack the Dutch army at the time because Yogyakarta was then the capital of the Republic of Indonesia. In addition, there were still many foreign journalists at the Merdeka Hotel Yogyakarta and also UN military observers. On 24th February 2022, President Joko Widodo designated March 1st as the day for enforcement of state sovereignty through a presidential decree. I will end today in history with March 1st, 2002. Spanish official peseta currency replaced with euro. Peseta is the currency of Spain which was used from 1868 to 2002. Following the issuance of the euro in 1999, then as a member country of the European Union, Spain started using the euro currency. March 1, 2002, euro officially replaced the peseta as the currency of Spain. As a tribute to the peseta currency, a peseta monument was erected in the city of Estepona. Well, listener, that was Student History read by Ahmad Faisal.
Penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qawin tiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi syaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión
usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Belum sanggup untuk jauh dari selalu teringat akan cinta yang dulu. Hidupkanku.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's My Indonesia is entitled Indonesia and Switzerland Discuss Solutions to Global Supply Chain Problems. Indonesia and Switzerland discuss various issues ranging from solutions to global supply chain problems to palm oil on February 24, 2022. This was stated in the 9th session of the Joint Economic and Trade Commission, JETC, of the two countries. The meeting is a routine bilateral consultation mechanism in the economic and trade fields between Indonesia and Switzerland, which has been taking place since 2010. Head of Bilateral Economic Relations for Asia and Oceania at the Swiss Ministry of Economy, Fabine Wasserman, said that Swiss shipping companies are ready to provide assistance to overcome global supply chain and logistic problems in Indonesia by opening direct shipping lines from Indonesia to export destination countries. As quoted from the kemlu.go.id page regarding palm oil, the Director General of America and Europe Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Ambassador Ngurah Swajaya, who led the Indonesian delegation, hoped that the Swiss government would soon receive the certification of the Indonesian Sustainable Palm Oil, or ISPO, which is one of the four certifications that have been recognized in the Palm Oil Ordinance in Switzerland. According to him, to make this happen, Switzerland is committed to helping increase capacity of Indonesian small-scale farmers through the 2021 until 2024 Development Cooperation Scheme. In addition, Ngurah Swajaya welcomed the planned visit of the Swiss Minister of Economy, Education and Research, Guy Parmelin, along with a business delegation to Indonesia in March 2022. Ngurah Swajaya said he would convey concrete cooperation which is expected to be achieved during the visit of the minister of the Swiss delegation to Indonesia. Meanwhile, considering that Switzerland is one of the leading countries in the healthcare sector, the Indonesian ambassador to Switzerland in Bern, Mulyaman Haddad, also invited Swiss pharmaceutical and medical device industry players to develop their portfolio in Indonesia. Besides being attended by delegates from both governments, the 9th session of the Joint Commission on Economic and Trade between Indonesia and Switzerland was also attended by Deputy Chairperson of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Sinta Kamdani, and several businessmen. In the dialogue session between business actors, Indonesia offered an opportunity to increase export of cocoa products to meet the needs of the global Swiss chocolate industry. Meanwhile, a consortium of Swiss companies has shown interest in a number of infrastructure projects in Indonesia, including to develop the new national capital. The economic performance of Indonesia and Switzerland continues to show improvement even in the midst of the pandemic. Swiss investment in Indonesia in 2021 will quadruple to $576.3 million from previously $130.9 million in 2020. This figure has even exceeded the investment value in the pre-pandemic period. In the last 3 years, 2019 until 2021, Indonesia continued to record a surplus in the trade balance with Switzerland. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Kamu, tapi ku takkan menyerah. Kau layak ku perjuangkan. Perih bagiku menahan marahku. Walau belum tentu kau lakukan yang sama, karena untukku kamu lebih penting dari egoku. Perih bagiku,
perih bagiku
menahan marah.
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. Listener, luxury lifestyle and travel magazine Condé Nast Traveler has released 22 recommendations for the best travel destinations to visit throughout 2022. The entire list was selected based on factors, such as great food and drink, historical sites to explore, and places with amazing views. Sumba is one of the recommended tourism destinations in Asia to visit this year. According to CNT's explanation, Sumba can be an alternative holiday destination in Indonesia besides Bali. If you want a peaceful post-pandemic trip, Sumba can be an option. Sumba Island is located in East Nusa Tenggara and it is known for its beautiful natural attractions, from hills, lakes, beaches to traditional villages. These attract tourists to this island. One of the iconic natural tourism destinations in Sumba is its hilly area, spreading from East Sumba to West Sumba. The expanse of hills throughout the Sumba area is indeed so exotic with its savanna. When it comes in the rainy season, the hills will look green and fresh, and then it will turn yellow-brown in the dry season. There are many hills that can be visited here. One of them is Lendongara Hill. Lendongara Hill offers a hilly landscape with a sea background. The green hills area is so soothing to the eyes. Plus, the fresh and natural air feels like being above the cloud. This place is perfect for the best photo spots, especially at sunset. This hill, which is similar to the Teletubbies Hill, is included in the area of Karuni Village, Loura District. The distance to the hill from Tambolaka, the capital of Southwest Sumba Regency, is about 20 kilometers. From Tambolaka Airport or Tambolaka City, it only takes less than 30 minutes by motor vehicles. Listener, if you arrive at Lendongara Hill, you will feel amazed. The green grass-covered hill is like a carpet. It is said that when the dry season enters, the color of the natural rock will turn brown with dry grass. The undulating texture of Lendongara Hill adds to its charm. Hills and valleys crisscross like waves. The cool air and beautiful atmosphere in Lendongara are the main reasons to sit for a long time and enjoy its beauty. Being on this hill, you don't have to miss capturing every moment. The morning at sunrise or the afternoon at sunset is the right time to capture the beautiful scenery at Lendongara Hill. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Aula yang tertulis untukku adalah yang terbaik untukmu. Kan ku jadikan kau kenangan yang terindah dalam hidupku.
Well, listener, the next segment is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In this program, we'll introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Let's Speak Indonesian, a radio lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language that introduces the vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia. This program is collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Agency for Language and Book Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Sudah Berapa Lama? Sudah Berapa Lama? Or in English, how long has it been? Next, I will give an example for a conversation on Sudah Berapa Lama, which means how long has it been? This conversation took place between Kevin and Boris. Boris is Kevin's new neighbor. Boris wanted to know how long Kevin's lived in the neighborhood.
Kevin, sudah berapa lama kamu tinggal di sini?
3 bulan.
After listening to the conversation, I will bring you phrases and vocabulary related to today's topic. I will say the phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, which is sudah berapa lama, or how long has it been. I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Sudah berapa lama, which means how long has it been. Tinggal, which means live. Sudah berapa lama kamu tinggal di sini? Sudah berapa lama kamu tinggal di sini? Which means, how long you have lived here? Sudah berapa lama kamu bekerja di sana? Sudah berapa lama kamu bekerja di sana? Which means, how long have you worked there? Satu bulan, which means 1 month. Sudah berapa lama kamu menunggu? Sudah berapa lama kamu menunggu? Which means, how long have you waited? Satu jam, which means 1 hour. In the conversation, you heard the question, sudah berapa lama tinggal di sini? Sudah berapa lama tinggal di sini? Which means how long you have been living here. In that question, there is an expression, sudah berapa lama? Sudah berapa lama, which means how long has it been? The expression is also used to ask how long someone lived in a certain place. Example: Sudah berapa lama kamu tinggal di sini? Sudah berapa lama kamu tinggal di sini? Which means how long you have lived here. Another example: Apart from asking for the period of stay, the expression Sudah berapa lama sudah berapa lama, which means how long has it been. It also used to ask how long someone did something. Example, sudah berapa lama kamu bekerja di sana? Sudah berapa lama kamu bekerja di sana, which means how long you've worked there. You can answer with satu bulan. Satu bulan, which means one month. Another example. Sudah berapa lama kamu menunggu? Sudah berapa lama kamu menunggu, which means how long have you waited? Like the one above, you can answer, for example, with satu jam. Satu jam, which means 1 hour. Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today. For more details, let's listen to the sample of conversation one more time.
Kevin, sudah berapa lama kamu tinggal di sini?
3 bulan.
Listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening and I'll see you on the next Let's Speak Indonesian.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhen que pei tai kou zhao, yi fang qi xin xing guang zhuang bing du fei yan de chuan bo. 我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Welcome to getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, in today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a Malay song entitled Bunda by Ayunia. Created by Pak Ngah Suhardi, this song tells the story of Bunda, which means mother. This song tells about the figure of a mother who is described as full of heartfelt sincere love. Even though studded with diamonds, life blessed with worldly treasures, it all will not be able to repay mother's love. Mother's blessing also guides us in life. Well, listener, here is the Malay song entitled Bunda by Ayunia. Happy listening!
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitradala. See you on the next English program.